find out what you've been missing in your life with A Balanced Life, featuring Beth Aldrich and Tracy Mallett. They'll show you how to savor your life. Each episode is filled with energized conversations featuring insightful and informative expert guests who will teach you practical ways to nourish and invigorate your life so you can experience health, balance, and vitality every day. You'll find yourself smiling as you experience the liveliness and charismatic wit between Beth, Tracy, and their guests. What makes you happy, healthy, and feeling alive? Spend an hour with Beth and Tracy and find out. We're happy you're here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Beth Aldrich, and I want to welcome you to the first show of this season. I would love to welcome my co-host, Tracy Mallett. Everyone, I want you at home to raise your hands and cheer. Yay! Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the show. I'm so delighted that you are my guest co-host, right, my full-time co-host. I keep saying guest because last year you were our guest co-host. So how's everything going, Tracy?
It's fabulous, and how exciting to do this with one of my great friends, Beth. I'm so honored to do this. What a great, great thing we can do. And I'm doing really, really good. Just been busy.
What have you been up to?
Well, I had this amazing thing that happened last week, and I went to the pre-Pro Bowl with the NFL, and it's called the NFL Play 60 Community Blitz.
Really?
Yeah, and it was so amazing. It was basically, the NFL has done so many great things for the Play 60 program to promote, you know, moving the body, fighting childhood obesity, which is obviously rampant out there. So it's really, really important that the big companies are taking a look at this and trying to do something about it. So what they're trying to do is actually build playgrounds in some of these big schools. And they, along with the Bank of America and the American Heart Association, they actually built this incredible playground, which is actually built for physically challenged children to keep fit. And I had the honor to be there and do the old fitness routine with the actual kids from school, the NFL. There was about 8 players from the NFL that were there.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was really lovely to see these NFL players giving back to these kids. I mean, these kids were in awe. And it was so funny at the end. I was like, come on, guys, it's time to stretch. And kids were like, I don't want to stretch. I want to catch a ball. You know what I mean? I want to catch a ball. And I said, if you really want to, you know, be an athlete, you want to train like an athlete, flexibility is also important. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed Vince Young, who is an amazing player. I have to say, he was amazing with the kids. I grabbed Vince Young. I went, Vince, show the kids how you can stretch. So that was me and Vince Young. And
oh, I hope you got pictures.
Yes. So that was a wonderful thing to give back. So
Sounds like you've been a very busy girl, and I know I was a little nervous. I thought, well, gosh, am I going to be able to lasso Tracy every week for our show? Well, I've been busy doing a lot of stuff myself. I'm doing a lot of stuff via my The Green Mom. I've been going on television talking about, actually this week, talking about green Super Bowl tips and ideas. So it sounds like both of us have been really busy. But I wanted to tell you already know about today's guest, but I want to tell our listeners about our show today. Our first guest is going to be Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her, but I also want to let our listeners know, if you've chimed in, we've also got author and health guru Ivy Larson. So I'm going to let Tracy tell a little bit about Ivy later. Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo really helps people around the world, Tracy, to have less stress and more happiness, which is awesome. Regardless
of that,
I love this, and it's basically, regardless of what's going on in their lives, she's going to help give us some ideas. Now, as a clinical psychologist and physical therapist and author of the best-selling book, which I love this book, A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription for Happiness. What a great title. And, you know, she's been interviewed, Tracy, on some of the top media outlets such as CNN, MSNBC, NPR, Glamour Self, but you name it. She's been on Women's Day. But now the epitome of her career is being on our show. So I want to welcome Elizabeth. Elizabeth, are you with us today?
I am, and I'm very happy to be here.
I can tell. Well, I'm glad you're happy, because otherwise I'd have to write you a prescription.
There you go.
Now, I'm sure a lot of our readers are curious, and so am I. How did you come up with an idea for this type of book?
Well, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I have a private practice, and people would come in wanting to have less stress and more happiness. And I thought, well, this is great one-on-one, but the world needs to know this. Our society tends to look for happiness in all the wrong places, and one of those places is to pop a pill. And there is no happy pill, although we'll talk about some really great prescriptions for people to start taking and implementing to have more happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't a pill, so I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we had a prescription, though? And so we thought it would be the ultimate prescription for happiness. And really what we want in life is to be happier. You know, you think about, for example, New Year's resolutions, which people may or may not still be struggling with. Regardless of what the resolution was, whether it was to lose weight or start exercising, get to bed on time, spend more time with your family, the real underlying factor is I want to be happier.
Right. Well, and bottom line, it is. And I always say to my husband, you know, you work so hard and, you know, you're going through life. The bottom line is you want to be happy. You want to make a lot of money. Why? So that you can do things that make you happy, like go on trips and, right? Would you agree? I mean,
that's exactly it. And the thing is, I think a lot of people think that once they get more money, then they'll definitely be happier. And unfortunately, the research doesn't show that. Or perhaps I should say fortunately, because we don't have to make a lot of money. We actually don't have to make much money at all in order to be happy, because the research shows that once your basic needs are met, money doesn't actually increase your happiness at all.
I agree with you. Boy, I'm going to have you come over for dinner tonight.
You know,
money does not buy you happiness. It helps a little bit, but it does not buy you happiness at all.
Well, I would agree. You know, I've said to my sons, they said something like, I want to have a job where I make lots of money. And I said to him, and I've read this somewhere that Deepak Chopra said this, and it's funny, you guys are very much in alignment, is, you know, if you do what makes you happy, what you need or the money, whatever your needs are, will come to you. And I love that.
That's exactly it. Because when
people follow your passion in life, money does come. If you follow your passion, which obviously, Elizabeth, you followed your passion to help people, money will come. And if that brings you happiness, then so be it. But it's not the be-all and end-all in life.
Exactly. And the research shows that it's the happiness that comes before the money. Happy people not only make more money, they also have better health. They have better relationships. They're less likely to get divorced. They're less likely to get ill. They sleep better at night. They have, can I say, better sex? I mean, there are just so many benefits to being happy.
Oh, yeah.
Say that word. So, you know, you say that anyone can increase their happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? I mean, how, you know, any of us? I mean,
anybody can increase their happiness.
Grumpiest, give me some tips. I need them.
Anyone can increase their happiness if they want to. And that sounds kind of funny. Well, who wouldn't want to be happier? But you know what? A lot of people out there have a real barrier to happiness because they think, I can't do it. Why bother? I don't want to fail. She doesn't know all the bad things that have happened in my life. And yes, I certainly respect there are a lot of challenges out there. What people need to understand is that happier people don't have less problems. They don't have less challenges. They haven't had less heartbreak than anyone else. They just cope with it better. Because happiness is a skill. Happiness is a skill.
Say that loud and clear.
It's a skill, just like stretching or any kind of exercise. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And one of the problems with our society is we are practicing skills that aren't very helpful to us. I make this comparison. I don't know how to play golf. If you gave me some golf clubs and golf balls and put me on a golf course, I could develop some really nasty habits. Really bad swings. And if I kept practicing my really bad swings, they would get even worse and they would become more ingrained into me. What we are doing as a society is we're looking for happiness in the wrong places, in food, in sitting and watching. The average American watches 5 hours of television a day, extramarital affairs, alcohol, drugs, prescriptions that aren't really helping us. This is what we think is going to find us happiness, bring us happiness, and it doesn't. But we keep practicing because we don't know the skills to use.
Right. And the skills are, you know, it's something, like you said, don't you think it's almost like working out? I mean, Tracy, you can relate to this. You're not good at it until you kind of understand it and keep working with it. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, it's building a healthy habit. And I find a lot of times the reason people don't have success with exercise and good nutrition is because they approach it in the incorrect manner. They, like Elizabeth's saying, they'll say, oh, you know, I don't feel like working out today. Instead of like, you know what, I feel a little tired today, but I'm going to walk for 10 minutes because I know that's going to make me feel better. So it's like reversing that psychology to say, you know, I can do it, even if it's only for a little bit. And it's those small little pieces of exercise that do accumulate into the big picture. But it's turning around and saying, you know, for instance, I hate my thighs. I've got a big fat butt. Instead of around and saying, you know what, my thighs need some work. I just need a little bit. And tomorrow they will look better. I mean, it's just, don't you agree, Elizabeth? It's how you, it's your, negativity is poison. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's all in our minds. I have a saying, change your brain, get more champagne. Champagne. And I don't mean the alcohol. I mean the bubbles, the excitement, the passion. And
ooh, the bubbles, I like that.
That's exactly it. Because when we change our brain, when we say, hey, even a minute is better than 0 minutes, we focus on the positive. Yeah. So I feel tired today, and exercising is going to give me more energy. I used to say when I was in high school that exercise was against my religion. Okay, I was anti-exercise. In college, I started exercising. Now I'm a group fitness instructor. I teach spinning and kickboxing, and I love it. I live for it.
Oh,
so
my
it's
gosh.
It's changing your brain. It's changing your mentality and your perspective. Something that we have to all be aware of, and this is so prevalent in our society, is what I call all-or-nothing thinking. All-or-nothing thinking.
Okay.
So if I didn't exercise yesterday, I might as well not exercise for the week. I have a cookie, I might as well eat the whole bag. I smoke a cigarette, I might as well smoke the whole carton, right? So we have this tendency that if we deviate one little bit, I might as well keep going there. We don't have to. If you change your brain, if you say, you know what, I had a cookie, I allowed myself to enjoy it, and now I'm gonna watch what I eat for the rest of the day, that's great.
Yeah. Well, so here's my question. My question is, why do you think there's so much discontent in our society? I mean, if we look at it in a happy perspective, why is there so much unhappiness?
Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to us practicing happiness in the wrong places, we suffer from if-only syndrome. If only I made this much money, if only I got the promotion, if only I was married, if only I was divorced, then I would be happy. And we think that it's only going to happen when these external variables, these outside of our body events happen, that we're going to be happy. And what we have to understand is that happiness comes from inside. And that's such a cliche, and we've heard that before. But if you think about it, it really is your mentality. We tend to, when we scan the environment, when we look in our relationships or work or anything, we tend to look at what's wrong, right? What needs to be fixed? When you see your kids up, they're not, you point out, you need to do this and this. Your husband, you know, you forgot to take out the trash. People at work, they didn't finish the project on time. What would happen if you started to focus on the positive and you started to appreciate the positive and you started to feel grateful for all the good things that are in your life? Mm-hmm. That one change in your perspective will literally change your life. Christopher Reeves, when he had a spinal cord injury, said what he missed the most was being able to put his arms around his son. Mm. Appreciating those little things before you lose them is really, if you wanted one key to happiness, that's it.
I love that what you just said, appreciate those little things while you have them, because I'm a mom, and Beth's a mom, I know that, and we are always, you know, struggling, trying to find a happy balance in our life. We're both entrepreneurs, we're busy, and running around picking up the kids, and there's so many moms out there, they just feel so guilty about taking time for themselves, you know, going to take a manicure or a pedicure. They don't do anything for themselves. I mean, have you got any tips for our moms out there, how we can handle the stress of being a mom, trying to be an entrepreneur, or just basically trying to get through the day and feel good for themselves? I mean, I think that's so important nowadays, don't you?
Tracy, it's a huge, huge issue, and I completely agree. My book, Your Ultimate Prescription for Happiness, is an A to Z, and chapter Y is You Time, because it's such a vital part of a happiness prescription. When you look, I'm a mom too, and when you look at moms, you look at their priority list, you've got the kids and the husband and the house and the business, and truly the homeless man down the street is higher up on the priority list than the moms. Moms need to put themselves on the list. And I'm not saying number one 100% of the time. We know that. We don't have to go all or nothing. But putting yourself on the priority list is absolutely vital, because we know when we get some downtime, when we have that mani or pedi, when we relax, when we, gracious, grab a book, dare I say, sit down and read for fun for half an hour. Whatever it is, when we take that time, our stress level goes down. It helps our physical and mental health. It helps our relationships. We're able to appreciate our kids more and our families more and our business more.
Well, no, yeah, I just want to chime in because I totally agree. In fact, I had that little discussion with my husband the other day. He said, you know, you just care about, you know, what you're doing. And I'm like, no. I'm number one because if I'm not happy, the rest of us aren't happy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know what, you're right. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned chapter Y. I want to point out to our listeners, her book, A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription, Dr. Lombardo has it broken up. Instead of chapter one, chapter two, she's got it in alphabetical order, chapter A, chapter B, and so on. I love that idea. I just wanted to tell you that. That's so cool because I'm writing a book right now, and I'm like, ooh.
I kind of took it from, you know, how we're supposed to take our vitamins from A to zinc. I thought, well, that's kind of what we need to do for happiness, too. And sometimes when we have a cold, for example, we might need more vitamin C. So when you look at the book, sometimes certain chapters you're gonna need more of than others.
Mm. Oh, so it's like if you need it, take it. In other words, go to a chapter. Because I read books sometimes straight through. Other times it's like what you said. I kind of go to where I need, like, for example, chapter F, forgiveness. It says, forgiveness is a gift you give to yourself that can transform your health, mood, self-esteem, and relationships. It will set you free from the past and let you enjoy your present and future. Beautiful. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, I get all fired up about this.
I appreciate that.
I think it's really important. And, you know, and so getting back to, I'm going to skip our commercial break because I'm just loving this conversation. Is that okay with you, Tracy?
Oh, absolutely, because I have so many questions I want to ask you.
All right, well, I want to ask you this. Okay, so being happy is great. Okay, I'm a very upbeat, happy person. I'm called Miss Positive Thinking. That's just how I am. But why do you think it's really important to be happy? I mean, we kind of talked about that, but let's just kind of touch upon that a little bit more.
Well, because when we are happy, everything around us is affected. Our psychological health, the people around us, our work productivity. When we're happy, we're more creative. And whether we're creative artistically or thinking outside of the box, figuring out how to deal with problems. Another example, when I have couples who come in to work with me for couples counseling, one of the things I often notice is that one or both are miserable. And I don't mean miserable because of the marriage. I'm saying their being miserable has made the marriage miserable. When individuals can become happier and have less stress themselves, they are able to be a better couple, parent, and then everyone around you benefits. You've heard before that, for example, when moms have depression, their children are more likely to have depression too. Happiness is the same way. So if you want to have a happy marriage, if you want your kids to be happy, and really, who doesn't? Going back to chapter one, you focusing on you and making yourself happier is going to be very, very important. I think my goal is to have this happiness revolution, like the green movement, right? So to have everyone start to apply these skills on a daily basis, and I truly believe that if we do, divorce rates are just going to plummet. And people are going to be able to stay married, not because they have to or they should, but because they really still love each other.
Now you should talk about the divorce rates, because the divorce rates are really increasing. And I think a lot of that has to do with, obviously, the economy as it is right now. And I know a lot of people going through this. And I think it's the communication breakdown. You know, you have a lot of partners right now where one of them or both of them are out of work. Mm-hmm. So their self-confidence is shot. And they're not happy, and it causes a lot of strain, you know, upon the relationships. And then also what I'm finding, a lot of people are starting to suffer from insomnia because they're stressed, they can't meet their bills, they can't provide for their family. Now they've got marital problems because of all that, and they're not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And we all know that sleeping is so important to rejuvenate the body, and then obviously you get more stress. And I love that you have this whole chapter in your book dedicated to sleep, because people really underestimate the power of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips for us on how people out there with insomnia can maybe get a good night's sleep?
and that's a really good point, because really, I mean, we think about it. I mean, I think a lot of postpartum depression, in addition to the hormones, I think a lot of it is sleep deprivation, because it affects our mood, it affects how we view things, it affects our interactions with other people. Yeah, a couple things about sleep. Make it a priority. So often people say, oh, I'm just going to watch one more show, and one more show becomes two or three, or I'm going to be on the internet. And so make it a priority. Turn off the television and the computer, because the screen actually excites your nervous system and it makes you stay awake. Have a wind-down routine. Real quick, Psych 101, we've all heard about Pavlov's dog, right? Bell rings, he got the food, and when the bell rang, he started to drool because he knew the food was coming. Our bodies are the same. If you have a wind-down program for you, maybe it's dimming the lights and reading something, maybe it's taking a warm bath, maybe it's meditation. If you consistently do that before you go to bed, your body knows when you start doing that, sleep is coming.
Mm. And so you constantly, is that true, right? It's kind of like when you see food, and your digestive system starts working through your mouth, you know, your salivary gland.
That's the Pavlov's dog. That's exactly it.
And I just want to go chapter N, eat your way to happiness. I love that. But we talked about food isn't happy, but you talk about it in a different way. Can we tap upon that? Because we have a few more minutes, and I'd love to, because, you know, we're all about food and exercise.
Absolutely.
So I really want to make sure.
Yeah, and of course, chapter E is exercise, too, because if someone you know, was asking me what the happiness pill was, I would definitely say exercise. Nutrition is so important. We think that the food that's going to make us happy are the sweets and the junk food, and really that just adversely affects us. And there's some research that shows that a lot of that processed food can actually cause depression. So eating healthy foods, making sure you're not starving yourself. Again, we're so all or nothing. We don't eat all day, and then we're so hungry, we chow everything. Making sure that you eat periodically through the day. Have healthy snacks with you. It's all so important.
Yes, the healthy snacks is really important. I find that people walk out the house in the morning, they're so rushed, forget about taking snacks on the go, so they start getting hungry, then they go all day without eating, then they overeat, instead of having like nuts, fruit, and eating every 2 to 3 hours. I mean, because when you're hungry, your body is in a stressed mode. Don't you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And when we get into that stress mode, we start to see things in a more negative light that are not accurate. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're more likely.
And you feel like you set yourself down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like an eternal cycle, isn't it? It's negativity, you know, it just keeps going around in that cycle, and you have to break that cycle. And once you break it, it becomes a healthy habit. And I just love your book. I was really impressed with how, and it's so true, like if you portray energy and you portray your positiveness, it will come back to you twofold. I mean, people ask me all the time, how did you get to do what you do, Tracy? And I'm like, because I put the effort into doing it. I have that energy to want to be able to feel good about myself. And when I've done these, with my last book, which is Super Fit Mama, I put like about 60 women on this program. And to get the women, I asked a series of questions. And by their responses, I could see whether they were ready to really take on the physical challenge of trying to lose weight and eat healthier. Uh-huh. You can just tell by the confidence. It's almost like as if the energy is like bouncing off the emails.
Yep.
And I knew right away it's their positive, it's their state of mind. It's all
maybe
there.
they read Elizabeth's book. You know,
I need to go read it now.
Mm-hmm. Now before we get going, I would love to have Elizabeth just give us a couple last words of wisdom. And also, let's chat about your website. Tell us a little bit about the book's website.
Okay, so the website is ahappyyou.com, ahappyyou.com. And it has all kinds of free resources for people to get on there. You can get the first chapter for free. All kinds of worksheets and stuff that I talk about in the work are available to download for free. Again, I want this to be the happiness revolution. I want everyone to have access to it. So feel free, and if anyone wants to contact me, that's a great way to contact me.
Good. You know, I had a reader and listener who contacted me this morning. Unfortunately, she didn't call in. I was kind of hoping she'd call in to talk with you because I'm sure, you know, the rates are probably a little better on air. I'm joking. But, you know, it's a nice way to interact with someone because 9 times out of 10, her question's probably on someone else's mind, you know.
Right. And, yeah, Tracy brought up the recession and people not working and the stress of that. I think that's something that we all are dealing with, whether we're working or not. Something to remember, and you both have brought this up, which is think positively. I think a lot of times when people hear that, they think, "Ugh, you know, Paul, you know, that's, you know, I can't do that." And we're not suggesting you think, "I'm so happy my house is in foreclosure, and I have negative money in the bank, and I'm getting a divorce. It's so great." I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about finding the positive. And I'll try to be real quick. But so if you think of the proverbial glass half full, half empty, right? We know half full, you're supposed to be an optimist, half empty, you're pessimist, blah, blah, blah.
All right, but okay, real quick before we wrap, I've got a person who connected with me this morning, and she said, you know, her husband's been unemployed for 3 months.
Right.
They can't sell their house, blah, blah, blah. You know, how it's hard to find the positive when you could be homeless.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is something. I think we get her the book. I'm going to send her my book, if you don't mind, because I think this is an important thing, and I'm going to tell her to contact you, because I think, you know, this, it breaks my heart, because I am very fortunate. My husband and I both work, and we've got a good life, but, you know, there are a lot of people out there, and I think, like you said, when you really pull through and shine, I think the positive does come through. It's just hard sometimes to see, you know, and I thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you for joining me in this interview. And Dr. Lombardo, your book, A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription. Everyone listening, go out and buy this book. This is a great book. It's a wonderful tool. And I invite you to join us and check out her website. Tell us your website out loud so everyone can write this down.
ahappyyou.com.
Love that title.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you. And I think more people are more positive out there. If it's weight loss, if it's stress reduction, this is how you first go about it. Emulate positiveness and you there. And negative, put it out. It's poison.
I know.
I totally agree.
All right. Well, thanks again, Elizabeth. We look forward to talking with you soon. But in the meantime, we're going to zip away for a quick commercial break. And for those of you at home listening, we invite you to call in anytime you'd like at 1-877-230-3062 to talk to one of our guests. In the meantime, we're going to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Ivy Larson. Don't go away. This is A Balanced Life with Beth and Tracy.
ForHerInformation.com online magazine is the place to be for hip, conscious-minded women. You can find information, ideas, and solutions that can improve your life and the planet. Explore the variety of articles, the It Girl column, radio show archives, and recent television clips, all designed with you in mind, the hip, conscious-minded woman. ForHerInformation.com features a link to the Green Mom blog written by founder Beth Aldrich, where you'll find tons of great ideas and product tips that are mindful of the planet and you. ForHerInformation.com. Log on today and read what you've been missing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
TeamMallet.com is an online community for fitness improvement, sexy lifestyle upgrades, and a training ground for a new, healthier you. It's also a place where you can interact with others who, like you, are actively working and striving toward the same goals. Join Tracy Mallett, international fitness and lifestyle expert, and a growing group of women who want to stay fit, healthy, and achieve personal satisfaction with their bodies and lives through healthy living. Tracy Mallett is the author of Sexy and Six, Super Fit Mama, and over 17 home exercise DVDs, including Lose That Belly Flab and 6-Minute Quick Blast Calorie Blast. Join TeamMallet.com today and find the new you together.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Beth Aldrich here with my co-host, Tracy Mallett, and this is our first show of the season, so we're excited that you're joining us. Now, our next guest is someone I think you'll really enjoy. Tracy, let's tell our listeners a little bit about our next guest.
Yeah, I'd like to introduce a very good friend of mine, Ivy Larson, and we had the pleasure of meeting a few years ago now. We have the same agent, and I was writing my book, Super Fit Mama, and I said to my agent, I need someone that can help me with these recipes, somebody that's knowledgeable about whole foods. And she went, I have the person for you. And I was like,
oh, fabulous, really? It's that easy? She went, yes, Ivy Larson. So I called Ivy and we literally chatted and chatted and chatted. We didn't get off the phone for probably about an hour and a half.
Sounds like one of our phone calls.
Yes, exactly. Actually, us three are very similar people, so we probably won't be able to get a word in edgeways. But Ivy is probably one of the most inspirational people I've met. Mm-hmm. And along with her husband, Andrew Larson, who's an MD, they have both co-authored three health and diet books, including the best-selling Gold Coast Cure and the Whole Foods Diet Cookbook, which are amazing cookbooks. Ivy's interest in nutrition was sparked by her diagnosis with multiple sclerosis at the age of 22.
Wow.
This is what I find inspiring about you, Ivy.
Me too.
You were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 22, but you've been able to go into remission purely by following the whole food diet, which is all, I have to stress, it's all outlined in her book.
Wow.
And she's been symptom-free for over a decade, which is phenomenal.
That's impressive. It is.
And I want to throw in there that you have a son, Blake, mm-hmm. and he, which is what amazes me, he's only ever, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ivy, he has only ever had antibiotics, is it once in his lifetime?
Wow. And, yeah, he's been on the Whole Foods diet. I nursed him exclusively for 6 months, and then I started him on the Whole Foods diet. And, yeah, his health has been amazing. I mean, antibiotics just once. He's never had an ear infection, doesn't have allergies, no asthma. I mean, he's just an incredibly healthy little guy. And we, you know, my husband and I both attribute it to his good nutritional foundation.
So, okay, so, well, first of all, welcome. I'm
thank you.
Fan.
Thank you, Tracy.
I tell you, I'm in the process of developing our book concept, so when we need recipes, you're my woman.
Oh.
You're the woman I'm calling.
Hey.
This is how I eat. It's funny, this is how I eat, which is funny because we are much alike. But now, for people at home that are listening, just real quick, give us a Reader's Digest version or definition of what whole food diet represents. What does that mean when you say, I know what it means, but not everyone does.
Right. Well, a whole foods diet is really just a balanced, nutrient-rich, and also anti-inflammatory diet that's based on natural, unrefined foods in their most natural state, so the way nature intended. So you want to think of apples instead of applesauce, corn on the cob instead of cornflakes, oatmeal, steel-cut oatmeal or steel-cut oats instead of a granola bar made with oats. And it's not low-carb or low-calorie or low-fat. There's plenty of choices to choose from in the carbohydrate, fat, and protein category. So for carbohydrates, you would, again, choose carbs in their most natural form, like the corn.
Give me an example. Okay.
Yeah, like corn, whole grains, so, you know, oatmeal, barley, quinoa, millet, sprouted whole grain breads. Those are even better than whole grain breads that are made with whole wheat flour or whole grain flour. Potatoes, beans, legumes,
of course, fruits and vegetables.
Bread?
I want to just ask you, what's your thoughts on the Ezekiel brand bread?
Is that
kind of sprouted? Is that
yeah,
bread?
I love Ezekiel, and I use Food for Life brand a lot because that actually has no flour, so it has a lower glycemic index.
Nice.
And when you toast it and put a little bit of olive oil or a little bit of flax oil, it really tastes amazing. I do think if you're not used to eating the sprouted whole grain breads, you should probably toast it first.
Right. That's what I do. I keep mine in the freezer, and I pop it in the toaster, and it's like heaven. I look forward to that slice of bread with my green smoothie every morning.
Oh, yeah, and I do the green smoothie. Yeah, I do that, too. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have to get together.
There's a lot of variety. You know, I think the fact that it's so variety rich makes it much easier to follow. And same thing with proteins. I mean, we really emphasize clean proteins. The cleanest source of proteins are really vegan proteins because you want to remember the higher up on the food chain you go, the more toxins accumulate. So in beef and chicken and fish, and I mean, those we definitely allow those foods, but we also emphasize more plant-based or vegan sources of protein. And then the animal-based proteins that we choose, we look for organic and for beef, grass-fed, for example, even dairy, grass-fed dairy, free-range organic.
I know, again, explain to our listeners why they should eat grass-fed.
Well, cows are supposed to eat grass, not grain. And when cows eat grain, they get sicker. In fact, grass-fed cows, like E. coli, is a sickness that's completely unheard of in grass-fed cows. But, of course, we hear about it all the time in grain-fed cows. Maybe not all the time, but you hear about it, and once is enough. Also, the grass-fed cows are going to have more antioxidants, more in the meat itself will have more vitamin E, more beta carotene, more CLA, which is a conjugated linoleic acid. It's like a good fat. Actually, has been shown to help protect, or there's a theory that it helps protect against certain types of cancer, even obesity. Also, the omega-3, omega-6 ratio in the grass-fed cow is much more desirable than in grain-fed. In grain-fed cows, it's going to have a much higher omega-6 fat, which is very pro-inflammatory. It's been linked to insulin resistance, certain types of cancer. And if you have an inflammatory condition like MS or arthritis or fibromyalgia or asthma, then the omega-6 fats in excess will exacerbate the inflammation.
Wow. Now,
make you feel worse.
Most people out there have trouble finding a lot of these foods, or they say they do and they use that as an excuse. Can you give us some tips on if you're on a budget, for instance, or you live in the middle of nowhere and can't get to, I go to Whole Foods, and buy a lot of my produce from Whole Foods, but some people are not accessible to get to Whole Foods. Is there any tips that you could share on that, Ivy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? You can order from, say, U.S. Wellness Meats, is where we, and there's other sources out there, but we order our meats. I mean, we live actually, like, within, I teach cooking classes at Whole Foods Market, so we live about 5 minutes from there. But the meats are more expensive, and I actually buy them in bulk. I order about, I think it's, the minimum order is $75, but you get a lot of meat for that from U.S.
Yeah.
Wellness
That's
Meats.
Right.
And I know there's other sources, too.
Yeah, and you know, Ivy, I think it's important to point out, and I think people are starting to catch on to this, but really meat shouldn't be the main portion of your dinner plate. It should be a smaller portion, the greens, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you don't
but
need
that's
to buy
the other thing.
Meat?
Yeah, you don't need, when you're not, I mean, we always say quality over quantity, so we don't eat meat that much, but when we do eat meat, we make sure it's super high quality. Last night I actually did tofu parmesan, so we do a vegan night about 3 nights a week, I would say. And that's really important because the saturated, you know, even if it's grass-fed and the healthiest meat and the organic and all that, animal foods are still going to contain much more saturated fat, and the type of saturated fat that animal fat that is different than the type of saturated fat from, say, extra virgin olive oil, extra virgin coconut oil, which is a plant-based saturated fat. And that actually acts totally different in your body than the types of saturated fat that are found in animal foods. So an animal food's saturated fat increases inflammation in your body, and so that's going to exacerbate any inflammatory condition. Also, you know, contributes directly to heart disease. And saturated fat, because it's pro-inflammatory, actually makes it more difficult for you to lose weight, because anything that increases inflammation disrupts your body's natural fat-burning abilities.
Well, I have a question, and this is so, I'm getting it, I'm with you. But the problem I'm having is I always use coconut oil. Like when I cook, I'll use a scoop of that versus butter. I mean, sometimes I'll use butter. It just depends, you know.
Right.
But my stepfather has, you know, a heart condition, as does my mother. And they say that the doctors tell them they can't have a certain amount of trans fat or saturated fat. And they'll read the label. And the coconut oil has a very high number. So they refuse to eat it.
Oh, of saturated fat. Of saturated fat. Well, coconut oil does have a lot of saturated fat, but it is metabolized and handled in your body because the medium chain triglycerides in coconut oil are totally different than the long chain saturated fats that are found in animal foods like butter and beef. And when they look at the studies of the people like in the Pacific Islands, and you look at the epidemiological studies and you read them in the medical journals, the people who have a high ratio of saturated fat from directly from extra virgin coconut oil do not have heart disease. And the theory is that that's because the type of saturated fat in extra virgin coconut oil just behaves completely different than the type of saturated fat from animal foods. And extra virgin coconut oil also contains antioxidants. So that's really important.
That's why in the Mediterranean diet, they have less chance of heart disease, and it's statistically proven because they eat a high ratio of olive oil compared to saturated fat.
But the problem is, The problem is,
I'm listening to me eating all that rubbish in the cupboard anyway.
No, but here's my question, and this is where I get, as I try to convey to him that this is a good choice of fat. He's using this like artificial freaking butter that who knows what's in it.
Exactly.
Well, that, like, this is killing you worse than it. He's like, but I'm reading the label, and the doctor said X, and I'm
no. Reading. I mean, the fat, trans fats,
the doctor.
Yeah, trans fats are like.
Double.
Those are, I mean, for absolute fact, I mean, those are the worst, worst, worst. I mean, if you're using a butter substitute that contains trans fats, you know, in the form of hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil, trans fats have been proven to, increase your LDL, that's your bad cholesterol. It decreases your good HDL cholesterol, that's the cholesterol that cleans, sweeps out your arteries, increases your triglycerides, impairs artery dilation. So, and it has been absolutely proven without a doubt that it increases substantially, you know, risk of death from heart attack, not just increases risk of heart attack, but also increases risk of death. So,
well, my question though is, I'm sorry to get on this, but this is like readers, really, this is the whole food diet. This is it in a nutshell. And this is, we've got people who are being told by doctors who we all respect and love,
yeah.
Right? To look at the number on the label.
Yeah.
And
no,
I'm like,
that, you
I know, but coconut oil is good for you. And they refuse to eat it.
I never look, the nutrition facts are just completely not reliable.
Yeah.
You have to look at the ingredients, and that's the number one thing, because I teach a lot of these health and body makeover programs down here in South Florida, and one of the big things in, like, class number one is how to understand and how to read the ingredients and to avoid being misled by the nutrition facts, and of course avoid being misled by the advertising labels or the marketing claims on the front, because I've seen, I don't want to name names, but I've seen cereal on the front that says heart healthy and loaded, you know, with antioxidants C and E or something, and then you read the ingredients and it's got processed refined flour, which actually can be converted right into saturated fat, it's got high fructose corn syrup, and it has trans fats. So it's
right.
Absolutely not heart healthy. And then at the label, and then you look at the nutrition facts, and for maybe 3/4 of a cup, it's like only 100 calories. So then people who are counting calories are saying, oh, this is low calorie, and it's heart healthy. And, you know, and they're just completely misled because they don't know the facts, and they don't know how to interpret and how to read the ingredients for themselves.
But even some of the doctors and the medical professionals are telling people, look at the trans fat number, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the confusion lies, is because someone's not going to risk their quote-unquote life or health if their doctor told them so. And this is where
right.
I think the problem lies, whereas more doctors need to take nutrition classes.
Yeah,
I really,
oh, definitely.
I just think they don't, they're not sometimes in alignment with
nutrition. That's the problem.
Right.
You know, people think that they understand about nutrition because it's what they're getting fed through the media continuously. I mean, the other thing, I mean, eggs. Always a controversial issue because so many people say, oh, I'm not eating eggs. It's
yeah, tell
my
the
heart.
Truth about eggs.
I mean, I'd love your opinion on eggs, Ivy, because I had this conversation yesterday with my father. He's like, oh, I can't eat eggs. It's too much cholesterol. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but have you seen the studies?
Eggs are very nutritious. I mean, they have lutein, but they also, you know, what increases your cholesterol, which a lot of people do not realize, is not actually dietary cholesterol. The three factors that increase your serum or your blood levels of cholesterol are trans fats, which we just talked about. Those are terrible. Refined sugar and refined flour can actually be converted by your body into saturated fat, and that can actually increase your cholesterol levels. And so people don't realize that it's really not and saturated fat also can increase your cholesterol levels, but it's not so much cholesterol. It's and eggs really only have 1.5 grams of saturated fat per egg, which really is not a lot.
Nothing.
I mean, that's not bad at all. So, I mean, eggs are very nutrient-rich, and if you get eggs from free-range organic chicken, then that, you're good to go.
Okay, so that's, we got the egg debate down.
How many weeks do you recommend to eat at the most?
The eggs a week? I mean, you know, I would say one or two eggs a day is fine. I would also say, though, you don't want to eat, you want to keep everything in proportion. You don't want to be eating eggs and beef and chicken and, you know, I mean, but if you're eating a varied diet, and you're including one or two eggs a day with a, that also incorporates a lot of plant-based foods, then I think you're fine. But, you know,
and I think that's the trick, right?
Yeah, balancing it with, I mean, how many other animal foods do you eat a day? I call myself a flexitarian, so it's like a part-time vegetarian, and I try to just eat about one or two servings of animal foods a day. And one serving of eggs would be one whole egg and one egg white. So if I had that for breakfast, then I might have a vegan lunch, you know, like black bean soup and a salad, and then for dinner maybe chicken. So then I've definitely not overdone my saturated fat intake for the day.
Well,
or animal feed for me
for the day. Can you explain to everybody a little bit about what exactly is a flexitarian? I know you just brushed upon it a little bit there, but I think the audience would really like to understand what a flexitarian is, because they've probably never heard that word before.
Well, flexitarian is like... It's like a part-time vegetarian. I mean, I try not to be extreme. I mean, I'm probably more extreme than most people, but I really try not to be, you know, too much of an extremist, and I try to be realistic. And realistically, if I were to say I'm only going to be a vegan and only eat vegan foods, that's going to be too limiting and too overwhelming for me to stick to. I appreciate and recognize the benefits of adding more plant-based foods in a whole food form, because we're not talking about French fries and cookies, which are vegan, but, you know, whole food-based plant foods. And so a flexitarian is still eats a whole foods diet, and they still get plenty of, plant-based foods from fruits and vegetables and nuts and whole grains and beans and legumes and whole forms of soy, like soybeans and soy milk and tofu, tempeh. And then they still are able to have animal foods, but they just limit their serving. They limit their intake of animal foods to about one or two servings a day. And then the animal foods they do eat, like, you know, the chicken and the meat and eggs are of the highest quality. So
okay, so that's something to keep in mind. You know, this isn't quote-unquote meat bashing hour. You know,
no.
I eat a mixture of everything. I found that I try a little bit of everything, and then I look at how my body responds, because there's certain blood types that they say really need the meat. And when they deprive themselves of that, they may end up having other issues. So I think it's looking like what Ivy said was take a look at, you know, what is in the, how they're raised, you know, free range and so forth.
Yeah.
And then quality. Now, real quick, just remind our listeners, because if anyone's listening in and would like to call, it's 877-230-3062 if you have a question for Ivy. But tell us your website, just so we kind of have that. I know you've got one in development. And then remind us about your book titles, because I just want to make sure we get that out there. And let's tell people what's been going on in your world, because we've got about five more minutes. So we want
I'm just now trying to launch a new site. It's live, but I haven't actually really officially launched it yet. But I do have a lot of recipes and some videos up already. And that website is hotandhealthyliving.com.
Hotandhealthyliving.com.
And then the most recent book is the Whole Foods Diet Cookbook.
Love that one.
And that's it's six chapters on nutrition, and then there's a little over 200 recipes.
Wow, that's a lot of recipes.
I just want to chime in. She's got great recipes. I mean, the recipes that she did for my book, Super Fit Mama, the women love, because they're quick, they're easy, and they're highly nutritious. And there's a lot of recipes in there. I wanted to talk a little bit about tofu, because I know we talked a little bit within, but we've got no time left, because I love what you do with tofu. I mean, and most people don't even think about picking that up off the shelf and eating it, but you have so many recipes and so many different kinds of tofu out there. Can you tell me what your favorite recipe is for tofu, and can we get that on your website? Because
one of the ones that I do is I mix tofu with ricotta, and then I make like a homemade lasagna, which is really good. Or you can do stuffed shells using whole grain pasta, and then I use a lot of tofu in smoothies. So I really love doing smoothies, and I mix, lately I've really gotten into hemp milk too, so I mix the hemp milk with the tofu. Yeah, the brand, it's Living Harvest, it's called Tempt milk. So I've been making a lot of smoothies with that, and frozen banana and a little bit of peanut butter or almond butter, and I'll make a smoothie with that.
Oh, I never thought to put peanut butter in there.
Yeah,
you
it's so good.
You do a green smoothie. What's in your green smoothie?
My green smoothie recipe. Yeah. I use one scoop of Barlean's greens. I do a half of a lemon. I do a little bit of a lemon peel even. I do about a half of a cup of frozen pineapple, a cup of water, and 2 tablespoons of Barlean's ground flax seeds, Fortiflax. And then I blend that all up in a, you have to, whip it all up. And somehow the lemon takes away the, you don't get that green tasting. You know, it just tastes fresh and
lemony. It kind of cuts the green. Okay, that's
cuts the green.
I do a green smoothie from Karen's with a K and a Y, Karen's Fresh Corner here in Chicago, and it's probably one of the best ones I've tried yet. And I do the similar thing, but it does have a green taste. So it's
the lemon cuts it, and the pineapple cuts the lemon. I mean, cuts the green.
Does Blake drink this? I mean, because I think there's a lot of moms out there that say, well, that's great for us, but my kids won't eat it. So
no, Blake does not like the color. Blake, no, he won't eat it. It's green. It's really green. He calls it the garbage drink.
Oh, my God.
So he won't drink it, but he eats he drinks this thing called, I think it's called Amazing. I have it down in my pantry. I could even go get it real quick. It's, I should go get it. It's like, it's a jar, and it's chocolate flavored. I think it's called Amazing Meal, but it's not really.
Oh, I've had that.
But I want to say that's not, I'm just now curious. I'm going to run down and look. It's,
it's okay.
It looks chocolatey, and then I'll add it with a little bit of, milk or, and I do the grass-fed milk for him. It's called Green Superfood. It's called Amazing Grass Green Superfood, but it's a chocolate drink powder. And that actually has all the greens in it, but it looks brown, and you tell them it's chocolate. And then I can add a little bit of unsweetened cocoa to it and frozen banana and blend that all up. And he really, or not even sometimes with yogurt.
Well, my one son will drink most smoothies. I mean, he's pretty cool about that.
Uh-huh.
But my other son will not drink any type of smoothie, and it bums me out because, you know, here you want to plop in all your omegas and your flax and can't do it. Just can't. It's such a bummer to me.
How old are your kids, Beth?
Well, I have 7, 12, and 13-year-old boys.
Oh, so, wow. Oh, gosh, 3. Full health.
Yeah, so they're good. But anyway, I love talking with you. I love everything about your website. I just think it's wonderful. Now, if someone wanted to, now you live in Florida. Do you host classes and whatnot?
I do. I do the health and body makeover programs, and I switch up the location. Right now, my husband and I are doing one at his office. I'm probably going to start one. I was doing them at Loggerhead Fitness. That was the primary place I was doing it. But they can go to our website and contact us, and then I'll let them know the next location.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, I have to tell you that we're almost out of time, so let's repeat your website one more time, and I want to thank you for being on the show and encourage everyone to run out and get Ivy's book. So give us one more plug for Ivy's stuff here. What's your website again?
Thanks, Beth. It's hotandhealthyliving.com, and then the most recent book is the Whole Foods Diet Cookbook.
Love that cookbook. And again,
thank
we
you.
Talked about the Whole Foods Diet. We talked about healthy eating. We just have to keep in mind, everyone, that it's baby steps, right, Ivy?
Yeah, and doable, things that are doable and accessible, and then, taking it one step at a time.
Yeah, it's all baby steps, I think. And Tracy, I think you've worked with Ivy. Are her recipes fabulous?
Her recipes are amazing. I urge everyone out there to go onto her website. I know it's in development right now, and she thinks it's not ready, but it looks pretty darn good to me. There's a lot of recipes on there, too, but definitely the Whole Foods Diet Cookbook. I've got it. It's one of my little books in my kitchen that I do follow. I think Ivy, out of all the people I've met, has been definitely one of my inspirations to definitely be more careful about what you actually put into your body, because at the end of the day, you are what you eat. And And to eat more whole foods on a daily basis is not that hard. And I think by getting a blender, I mean, Ivy, I just bought a Montel Williams new Health Master.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Excited.
It's very similar to the Vita mixer. I use the Vita mixer.
Thanks.
Well, you know, we're going to have to talk about this off air, because in a minute we're going to be off the air. But
okay.
Ivy, thank you so much
for joining
us.
Thank you both.
I love everything you're doing, and let's definitely stay in touch.
Oh, we will. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Beth and Tracy.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
And for those of you listening at home, we just want to thank you for listening to our show today. Now, next week, they'll have alternate programming, but if you join us again on Wednesday, February 17th, we're going to welcome fitness extraordinaire Tammy Lee Webb. Remember that video, Tracy? Bust of Steel?
She is my inspiration for fitness. She is the fitness icon, and let me tell you, she has got a great butt, and she deserves that title.
She's got buns of steel.
She's a great friend of mine. We're going to love, and she's definitely going to inspire you to get off the couch and start moving.
Yes, and I wanted to remind everyone to check out my online magazine. We've got a new issue online at www.forherinformation.com, and Tracy's website is TracyMallett.com, TracyMallett.com. So visit us online, check out what we're doing, and until next time, Tracy, have a balanced life.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to A Balanced Life with Beth Aldrich and Tracy Mallett. Listen every other Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time as Beth and Tracy show you what you've been missing.